Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be discussing this, well, based on the title, Called to Preach, question mark. I'm not sure that the title in itself lets you know that this is a hot topic, but let me expand a little bit on the title. Who is called to preach God's word? The reason why we're talking about this and reason why this is such a very, very hot topic is that we see throughout Christendom churches being planted at an unprecedented rate. Thus, you have more and more preachers going to the pulpit at an unprecedented rate. Preachers of both genders, preachers who very often come from the ilk that says that seminary training is not necessary. They're just going to be led by the Holy Spirit. So you've got all kinds of churches being planted in the name of Christ. You've got all kinds of preachers, both men and women, preaching supposedly the word of Christ. And so as we see all of this happening and gaining more and more momentum around the world, the question is, who's called to preach? Well, in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul makes a great point here. He starts out in verse 9, with a statement or a couple statements that you're all very familiar with. He says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed or put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you guys all agree with those statements? Of course you do. But then Paul asks this question, verse 14, how will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they've not heard? Because over in verse 17, scripture is clear, saving faith comes from not seeing signs and wonders, not having Jesus show up to you in a dream. No, true saving faith comes from hearing the word about Christ. That's why, back to verse 15, end of verse 14, Paul says, how will they hear without a preacher? But how will they preach? Verse 15, unless they are sent. Sent by whom? Sent by the church? Sent by a denomination? Sent by their own will and whim? No. We know that saving faith comes from hearing the message about Christ. We know that people will hear as preachers proclaim the word about Christ. But the question is, how are they going to preach unless they are sent by God? So really, again, scripture is cleared that a person should not dare to preach unless they are sent by God, unless they are called by God. Because in James chapter 3, verse 1, James makes it very clear, not many of you brothers should be teachers. Why? Because we who teach will be held to a stricter judgment. The pulpit is a very, very holy place. It is holy ground where God's holy word is declared through a man called by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to me very carefully. The pulpit is a holy place, and it is also a very dangerous place for a man who is not called by God. Which leads me to qualify one statement by saying the pulpit is a place ordained by God for men who have been called by God, not for women. Oh, Andrew, you're a chauvinist. No. 1 Timothy, Paul makes it very, very, very clear. He says in verse 12, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Paul's talking here about, in the context of church, he is talking about an elder, a pastor teacher, a person who teaches God's authoritative word. Paul makes it clear, I do not allow a woman to do that. And then he really clinches his statement by going all the way back to creation. It was Adam who was first created, then Eve. From the very beginning of creation, God had ordained, had designed, that the role of the spiritual leadership in the family was that of a man. And in like manner, the role of spiritual leadership in God's family, the church, is a role of man, for men. Doesn't mean women can't teach. Of course they can. They can teach other women. They can teach children. They can teach in the context of a Bible study along with her husband. Of course. Sharing things and so forth. Of course she can. But when it comes to the preaching ministry in the pulpit, that is a position that has been ordained by God for men of God. Men of God, by the way, who need to be able to, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, verse 2, they better be able to teach. Competent. Didaskatos is the Greek word. It literally means ability to teach. So, who is it who's called by God to preach the word of God? Well, first of all, the gender, it's a male. It's a man, right? But that man has to be qualified. Not anyone can just step into the pulpit and say, well, I'm just going to kind of wing it. Again, the warning from James, not many of you should be teachers, my brothers, because we who teach will be held to a stricter judgment. Listen, you don't want to play games on the pulpit. You don't want to give your own opinions. You don't want to kind of throw out questionable statements. You don't want to be uncertain up here in the pulpit. That means you need to be skilled at teaching. In fact, the great Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, actually came up with four marks of a man who is called to the preaching ministry. Mark number one, he must have an inward compulsion given by the Holy Spirit to preach. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. That should be the cry of every man who is called to preach. A man who has that inward compulsion is a man who is so absorbed in studying God's word and preaching God's word, where he literally says, woe to me if I don't preach the word. People ask me all the time, Andrew, have you ever thought about what you might do if you weren't a pastor, a preacher, teacher of God's word? You know what my answer is? I've never thought about it once. I have no idea what I would do if I didn't preach the word. I mean, I have no idea. There is no plan B for me. None whatsoever. Woe to me if I don't preach and teach. I mean, I love to study God's holy word. And I love to teach God's holy word in the power of the Spirit for the glory of God's name. I have no clue what I would do with my life if I didn't preach. I know I would continue to study. I mean, I feel sorry for my poor wife, Danielle. All I would do is preach to her. Of course, that's all I would do. I have no plan B. I have no other interests. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm some sort of like boring. Well, some people say I'm boring, but I mean, you know, I know what's happening on in the world. I know what's happening in sports. When I'm drinking my coffee in the morning, I'll go on the internet and I'll look at what's happening. Let's say in the Croatian news, I'll look what's happening in the world news in the United States. I'll check out ESPN and see what happened, you know, with the basketball game. But literally all of that takes me 3 to 5 minutes. Studying? That takes me hours every day. Hours. And you know what? I love it. Love it. And I love sharing that which I've learned. I mean, a man who is called by God to preach the word of God must have this inward, Holy Spirit-given compulsion to preach. Woe to me if I don't preach. And that's the problem I have with a lot of these young guys who bypass seminary, who decide they just want to go out and plant churches as though they're reproducing McDonald's franchises. And these guys have not had enough time sitting under seasoned, spiritual, godly men, where these young men are giving themselves time to spiritually mature so that they can say, woe to me if I don't preach. And then what ends up happening is they go out with these great ideas, these great dreams. All of a sudden they meet with the inevitable obstacles that you deal with when you plant a church. And they eventually give up or they compromise to the culture. Who is called to preach? Well, mark number one, a man, okay, who has that inward Holy Spirit given compulsion. Let's look at the other marks after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where today we are discussing this idea of who is called to preach. If you were with us on the first part of the show, we took a look at a passage in Romans 10 where Paul was saying, how are people going to hear the good news of the gospel unless someone preaches to them? And how is someone going to preach unless they are sent, called by God? For how beautiful are the feet of those who are sent and who bring good news. So we want to take a look at this idea of really the maybe marks of a man who is called by God. Again, if you were with us on the first part of the show, we made it very clear that Scripture says that only men are called to be pastor teachers in the church. It doesn't mean a woman can't teach. She can teach other women. She can teach children. She can share in a Bible study, you know, along with her husband or other men. Of course she can. But from the preaching from the pulpit, that is a role that has been ordained by God for men who must meet these strict qualifications of being a pastor elder. And we saw one of the marks of a man who is called by God to preach the word of God is that this man must have an inward Holy Spirit given compulsion. Again, like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe to me if I don't preach. That should be the attitude of every man who is called by God to preach. Woe to me if I don't preach. Let me at it. I want to preach. I want to preach. But that's just one mark of a man who's called by God, the compulsion. Another mark, beginning with a C, is his competency. Does the man have this deep desire to fulfill 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but who accurately, precisely, carefully, rightly handles the word of truth." What does it mean to be competent as a preacher? Well, many people focus on what is called the homiletics. That's the presentation. They say, oh, this guy's funny, or this guy's got great voice inflection, or this guy has great movements up there in the pulpit, or whatever. No, no, no. That is not what marks a competent preacher. It's not homiletics, it's hermeneutics. Fancy word for proper interpretation of the scripture. A man who is truly called to preach the word of God is a man who will study and study and study and study with such diligence, such care, such passion, because he knows that he has to present himself to God as a workman approved. When I'm studying, I am begging the Holy Spirit to illuminate truth to me that he had inspired. I am working so hard to understand the text. I am studying commentators. I am studying ancient geography, language. I am studying the scriptures and interpreting them with other scriptures. I'm immersed in these things, and I love it. I can't get enough of it. And the reason why I do this is because I need the text that I'm going to preach to first be clear to me, so that I then, and then when I preach, it can be clear to the people I'm preaching to. So that the Holy Spirit then can apply that clarity, that truth to their lives. Mark number one, a man needs to have that inward compulsion. Mark number two, a man needs to be competent. He needs to be a man who studies and who is able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to get clarity on the text he's going to preach. And he also needs to be competent, 1 Timothy 3:2, to be able to teach. He needs to be able to present clearly, again, in the power of the Spirit, the truths that are now clear to him. He needs to be competent, which means this idea of just going out and planting churches without any sort of theological training, without any deep desire to study, but rather to just wing it when you get on the pulpit. Let me tell you something right now. That is not a man who is called by God. That's an immature Christian, if he is a Christian. That is an immature Christian who has no business at that point being in the pulpit. I cannot even imagine getting into the pulpit without first having spent hours upon hours praying and preparing. Praying and preparing so that I then could step into the pulpit and preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've heard guys say time and time again, well, I don't know what I'm going to preach on today. The Holy Spirit will give me the message as I'm walking to the pulpit. What? You have got to be kidding me. And yet that happens week in and week out. Why? Because Sunday comes around, listen, every Sunday. So you've got to be ready. I work on a deadline constantly. That's my life. My life is a constant deadline. I have to prepare for and teach to you hot topics. I am teaching messages throughout the week, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, to people in our congregation, to seminary students, to people all over. And then on Sunday, I'm preaching on the Lord's Day. I am under a deadline constantly. My life is a one constant. What am I doing next? What do I got to teach next? You imagine just not being prepared and winging it? That's not a man called by God. So, mark number one. Again, these marks are come from the great Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. Man has an inward compulsion. Mark number two, a man is competent. He studies to gain competence so that he can preach with competence. Mark number three, well, the Holy Spirit will work through a man who is called so that there are conversions in his ministry. Now again, it's not up to the man. I cannot convert anybody. I cannot save anybody. But if I'm called by God to preach the word of God, if I have that inward compulsion, if I have that competency, I can trust that the Holy Spirit of God will work through the word of God that I'm preaching to save souls. I'm never surprised when somebody says, well, Andrew, I started coming to the church and over time the Holy Spirit regenerated me and suddenly my eyes were open and my mind, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm never surprised at that. Now, certainly I don't take the credit for that or I don't start to get puffy and say, well, look how great I am. I can't do anything. But why would I be surprised that the Holy Spirit is at work? I mean, again, Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the word about Christ. If I'm faithful to study the word of Christ, if I'm faithful to preach the word of Christ, doing my best to make it clear to the people, why would I be surprised if the Holy Spirit's saving souls? So, a man needs to have the inward compulsion. A man needs to have competency. A man should see the Holy Spirit converting people. Under his preaching ministry. And number four, the man should receive confirmation from the people he is preaching to that they're actually learning the word of God. Again, in Romans 10, where Paul said, he was quoting from Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Well, look, I'm not looking to please people. When I preach, I look to please God and God alone because I have to stand before God and God alone and give an account for every word I preach. But when someone comes up to me and says, yeah, wow, Andrew, I've read that text before, but wow, you've really made it clear to me today, and now I understand it. Well, that's the confirmation I'm talking about. That person's not bragging about me or saying that I'm doing something that, but of course, the confirmation, again, is that the Holy Spirit not only is converting people, saving their souls, but the Holy Spirit is also sanctifying those who are saved, making them more Christ-like and opening their eyes, illuminating them the truths through my preaching ministry. I mean, again, if a man doesn't have the inward compulsion, if a man doesn't have the competency or desire to study and preach, if the man is not seeing the Holy Spirit converting people under his preaching ministry, if the man is not seeing the Holy Spirit applying truths to the lives of the believers, well, then you got to start to question, are you really called to the preaching ministry? And again, don't get me wrong, you're not going to know this right off the bat. I mean, when I was in seminary, did I have that inward compulsion? I mean, I guess looking back, I certainly had something going on, but certainly I didn't have the same compulsion that has matured over the years that I do now. Same with my competency. But look, if a person thinks he or she, well, not she, but he is called to preach, and he doesn't see that compulsion growing, he doesn't see his competency developing, he doesn't see the Holy Spirit working through his preaching ministry to convert souls and to sanctify the saints, that person needs to be careful and not just arrogantly just step into the pulpit all the time. And the final one, which actually doesn't come from Charles Spurgeon, but from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the final and fifth mark, Christ-likeness in the preacher. Look, my goal as a preacher is the Christ-likeness of the people God has entrusted to me. That's it. The goal is not to stuff the building with people. The goal is not to go out and change the world and all that stuff. The goal is, for me as a pastor teacher, it is the sanctification the Christ-likeness of the people he's entrusted to me. That's what I'm going to be held accountable for. Therefore, it only makes sense that if I'm to be used by God to see Christ formed in the people need to see Christ formed in me, the preacher. That means I have to be under the sanctifying power of God's word constantly. Again, Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them by the word. Your word is truth. If I am not under the sanctifying power of the word, I'm not going to be able to be a sanctifying preacher, shepherd to the people. They need to see me growing more and more into Christ's likeness. They need to see me falling more and more in love with Christ. They need to see me decreasing more and more in the pulpit, so Christ is increasing more and more. They need to see more of Christ in and through me. And if a guy thinks he's called to be a preacher and he does not have that burning desire to be more like Christ and to see the people become more like Christ, well, guess what? Then he's in the pulpit for the wrong reason. He's there to entertain people. He's there to get a big high from the applause or the attention people give. That is not why a man stands in the pulpit. A man stands in the pulpit because he is called by God and he has this burning, burning passion to teach the word of God to the people of God in the power of the Spirit of God and all for the glory of God. That's why, again, when it comes to those who are called by God, man, this is serious stuff. It is a high, high calling, a high, high privilege. And only those who are called should apply. God bless you all.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.